Hour number two of The Blitz is live on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Rick Butler, Brandon Orrick, Chance Collins, and Weston Brown hanging out with you for the next hour as we continue the program today. You can listen to us at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Our podcast is up moments after the show goes off the air every single day. The Periscope video feed of the show is live right now on our Twitter account, at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, and on Facebook, Fox Sports Knoxville. And then last but not least, of course, you can take the show anywhere you are headed with either the Fan Run Radio app, which you can download from your app store, or fanrunradio.com. Those are all your ways to look at the show. Gentlemen, I'm going to quote a friend of the show, David Ubbin, in one of his tweets, word for word. Are you aware that if Jeremy Pruitt beats reeling Mizzou and Vanderbilt, he will have equaled Butch Jones's best season ever in SEC play? Are you aware of this?
I saw that earlier.
In 2015, Butch Jones won 5 conference games. They beat Vanderbilt, they beat Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Georgia. This year, you got the chance at beating Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. Where do you put that in terms of importance? Just overall importance.
You still got to do something else after that.
It's good to win 5 games.
Yeah, to pass Butch, but we're talking about, what's that going to mean 3 years down the road if you still haven't gotten competitive enough to win an SEC East title or to make it to, you know, SEC East title and to make it to a SEC championship game? Like, not even having to win the East. You just need to be, like, competing for it on a consistent basis to where you're, you know, you're a game out or something. Like, in the next couple of years, he needs to compete for the East title. That's still going to be the main goal. So, doing this, it's good to win 5 games, like Brandon's saying, but we still want to see more.
Yeah, so what was Butch's first season?
Wasn't great.
Was it 2013?
Yes. Yeah. Correct.
So 2015 would have been his third season. That's when he got up to 5 conference wins. Pruitt is doing it in his second season. You know, I think that in a broad term, that this is obviously a great thing because, you know, what, like, one of the things, you know, we need to continue to beat SEC teams. That's the way we're going to get back because ultimately you're recruiting against other SEC teams. You are in the region of other SEC teams. Those are the most important games every single year in and year out. So for Jeremy Pruitt to be able to, I think, get to this 5-win mark this quickly, I think that's awesome. That's great. If it happens, of course, you still got to win these last 2 games. But I think that at the very most, it's just encouragement for what's ahead. I don't think that winning 5 SEC games this year sets you up for ultimate success because, as we saw from Butch, that 5-win season did not. Right? You had 2016 the next year, but things certainly fell apart after that. So I don't want to go off the top rope and say that, you know, this is the greatest news ever, and it's certainly not confirming that we're going to have 5 SEC wins the next, you know, however many seasons at minimum. But this is good. This is where you want to be in year 2. Obviously, our win-loss record, we all believe, could be certainly a little bit better, by the tune of 2 games better. But man, and all things considered, for what this season is, for Jeremy Pruitt to get those 5 SEC wins right there in the middle of his second year, I think that's awesome. And I think that just shows that this program is headed in the right direction. Without jumping to any crazy conclusions, you know, and saying that the next 5 years are locked down. They're obviously not. But this is in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you something that you can point to and show recruits.
Yes, biggest thing maybe.
That you're building towards something and that you've made progress from year 1 to year 2 and that you've kind of – and it gives you – and this is what we talked about in the offseason. It gives you actual proof – to said recruits that you've surpassed programs like South Carolina,
yes,
like Missouri, like Kentucky, and kind of take that next step in getting closer to like you were talking about, Chance, those East championships and competing for the East and the conference.
Well, that's got to be the next goal. I mean, like, yeah, it does help you out in recruiting if you can make a bowl game and to show the growth and progression and development. But people also, fans, administration, going to want to start seeing you compete for getting titles and to ultimately what people hope to see is Tennessee being the proverbial back.
We all know where Tennessee's ultimate goal will be, and that is the SEC championship game at minimum. But there are little smaller goals that you got to hit across the way, right? You can't just jump straight across the river. You got to kind of jump on the rocks that are standing in the, or I guess that are upright in the middle of the water first. One of those little goals along the way is certainly you get to 5 SEC wins. Then maybe you get to 6 next year. Maybe you go somewhere else with that. I don't know. But it certainly is one of the goals on the way to the SEC championship, which is where we're all hoping and expecting to be here in the next couple of years. 865-546-8200. That is your phone number to jump on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. Join in on the show today. Talk about whatever you want. Let's go there right now. Let's get a call from Zach. Good morning, man. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
What do you say, Butler?
What is going on, my friend?
How are you, Brandon and Chance and Weston, doing today?
I think we're all doing great. Weston's certainly doing pretty good.
Yeah, I heard about that.
A little bit of cash in his pocket.
That's right. I was actually going to ask, what's he planning to spend it on? Does he know yet?
Probably help out with, Christmas. You know, Christmas can be expensive and, might get ahead on a few payments.
Well, I got a little bit of nerd advice. Take $500, put it into your Roth IRA. You'll be thanking yourself when you get older. Sorry for the nerd alert.
No, I appreciate it.
No problem. Rick, you were talking about the SEC, winning the 5 games. I think it's a good sign, but in another way, you got to look at it too, not being a Debbie Downer, but this SEC bottom half is absolute garbage.
I mean, it is.
Kentucky has no offense. They really shouldn't have been able to run the ball like that on us the first half. I mean, because they're one-dimensional. Missouri is absolute dumpster fire. Vanderbilt's terrible.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think it shows us that much, but you do have to, like Chance said, you have to start beating those teams at a certain point. And so it may well be this year, but, for us to move forward, it's going to take not getting our brains stomped out by Florida, not getting embarrassed by Georgia, and doing kind of what we did against Alabama for, I think, us to be fully back on board. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it 100% does. And I think that one of the things that kind of goes against Tennessee's favor with that is just the way that the schedule's laid out. You know, like it sucks that you got to play Florida towards the beginning of most years, and it sucks that Kentucky and Vanderbilt come towards the end of it each year. At least in my opinion it does, because I would much rather be playing Florida right now. I'd much rather have had Kentucky as that fourth game of the season, which is a little bit easier of a process to transition to as you're still getting through the beginning of the season. But on the other hand, if we do want to get to the SEC championship game, those are all going to have to be wins. Even Alabama beats up on Arkansas every year. And so I agree with you. It's nothing to come in here and celebrate, right? We're not launching fireworks. We're not giving each other gifts here, but it is something that you need to happen for the future. And it's good that, hey, it's year two and we're already on this stage. Now we can start maybe next year looking to that next goal, right? If we can accomplish this goal this year, then maybe our goal next year can be, let's beat Florida. Let's beat Florida or maybe someone else that nobody ever expected us to be.
Yeah. I think the schedule is going to be a lot tougher, too, next year when you got OU,
yes.
Rising Florida team,
God,
Georgia, Alabama. And, who do we play Arkansas next year? Is that the one gift we got?
Yes.
Okay, so we got at least one gift. I think that's going to play a little bit of a role, too. Last comment, and I'll get out of your way. You guys mentioned it on the Monday Night Football game. That lived up to the hype.
It did.
That was a great game. I watched that all the way to the end. It was pretty late last night. But in the overtime, that was pretty amazing. Both plays combined, I thought that was one of the best Monday Night Football games that I've seen in a while. That's definitely a classic. But yeah, I think I hope, because Monday Night Football has kind of been a little bit of a disappointment, it was finally good to catch one like that. All right, boys, you be good. Congratulations, Weston.
Zach, thank you very much. We appreciate you as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, that Monday Night Football game last night, it definitely did live up to the hype. It was basically this year's version of the Chiefs-Rams last year. Now, obviously, the point total wasn't the same, but just in terms of a knockdown, drag-out, slobber knocker of a fight, that's exactly what you got. Slobber knocker, good word, right?
Slightly.
It's pretty good.
It's okay. It's not one of my favorite words.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Out of all the words we've said are good words on this show, you're not going to say that slobber knocker is one of them?
Not going to do it, Ricky.
Slobber knocker?
You know what did come out today?
What did?
Breaking news, Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. The Mandalorian.
All your favorite Disney titles will be on Disney Plus platform now. That's where you'll have to go to find them unless you get them illegally. But they'll all be there now. All the Star Wars, all the Marvel, Boy Meets World from back in the day. Got a lot of good stuff on
there. Yeah.
Heavyweights, all the Mighty Ducks.
All the Disney shows that we grew up with.
Even Stevens.
Your Sweet Life of Zach and Cody's.
Lizzie McGuire. That's So Raven.
Wow.
A lot of hits.
Wow.
All on the, it's supposed to be the one of the cheaper platforms too, right?
Well, so I believe, this could be wrong, but I believe you can get just Disney for $6.99, or you can get the bundle, which includes
Disney, ESPN.
Hulu, ESPN Plus, and the Disney Plus for $12 a month, which is exactly what Netflix is. There is a streaming network competition going on that if you kind of pay attention to it, it's interesting to watch. Netflix gives you just their platform for $12. Here comes Disney saying, we already rule the world. So how about we take Netflix off the map? Netflix, hey, you're going to charge people $12 for just your service? We'll charge $12. We'll give them every Disney content ever. We'll add in the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. And then on top of that, we'll add in your biggest competition in Hulu. And we'll throw that all together for the same price. How about that? Checkmate, Netflix. That's what Bob Iger is saying this morning. It doesn't seem like anybody has an interest in this. I have a great interest in this. I love tech.
I like it a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't know.
Sorry, I was over here plugging up devices. Brandon and Fish are obviously out on. They have much. I think it's huge.
Brandon's out on the streaming wars, but I find them very interesting.
I'm with you.
I think that this is where
it's a big move for them to throw ESPN and everything in there when that's the same price. And Netflix continues to gradually increase over the last couple years.
They're increasing their price and decreasing their customers very rapidly. But this is where our entertainment is. Every single person listening to this show, in some way, I would bet,
consumes one of those things.
Right, consumes one of those things. Either Netflix, ESPN, Hulu, or...
any of the Disney.
ESPN, Disney,
Disney
Netflix,
for their kids.
Hulu. Yeah, exactly. Everybody
or for
is a
themselves.
Part of this.
It's a lot of old school stuff on there for, when everybody was growing up. So I think it's a big power move.
I think a lot of people just kind of bought Netflix and now they're just riding it out, right? Because they're so used to their Netflix content. But I think there's going to be a lot of people, including myself, who has to look seriously hard at Netflix and say, is Stranger Things worth it? Really? How many Netflix original shows am I watching? Is Stranger Things worth it to have over all this other crap that you get? It's amazing.
But the wars are actually pretty funny because not only that, Apple, they came out with their Apple TV, or it starts maybe next year.
Oh, yeah.
It either starts next year or it might be starting now. And they have something else that they bundled with theirs, too. So all these wars are happening. And Rick said it's pretty interesting. I'm a big tech guy, too. I think it's pretty interesting because – and then you have certain cell phone companies throwing in deals, and they're partnering up with Viacom and, Xfinity, Comcast. And they're all trying to get in on the streaming platform, but they're all essentially trying to catch Netflix because Netflix got so far ahead of everybody in the game with all their originals and their movies, and then partnering up with Hollywood to really bring it all full circle and to cut costs that way. And so, like, Netflix really got ahead of everybody. So now everybody's trying to catch up to them because the cord cutting is here.
Yes.
Even the boomers are starting to cord cut when they're tired.
I don't know if you can use that word, Chance.
You can't say that.
It is it's against the PC culture.
I mean, I saw that over the last weekend or the weekend before. Yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah, the baby boomers.
The police.
He said it again.
I did. I say what I want.
Boomer, 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 boomer.
What are you doing?
Is the whole old people generation going to get mad at, like, the University of Oklahoma? Are they going to... We're gonna take our walkers and we're gonna go over there to Norman, Oklahoma, and we're gonna show them a piece of our mind. I'm not gonna let them use Boomer Sooner anymore. That is disrespectful. Like, give me a break, old people. Give me a break. Ridiculous. I know that our generation. Look, I know that the millennials have a lot of crap and issues ourselves. But you guys are now in that category too. If you want to get this defensive about the word Boomer. We all got problems.
Wow. Ageist Rick.
Ageist. Not even ageist. I'm just saying everybody has, everybody's got something to be mad at now.
This might hurt.
Literally everybody.
This might hurt your relationship with the drive.
The boomers.
Who, does somebody on the drive not use the word boomer? Are they very against it?
No, but you're.
I'm not coming.
You're coming at them.
You're coming off against old people.
No, I'm not coming off the top rope against old people. I'm coming off the top rope against old people who are now getting very defensive about this word because everybody needs something to be mad at nowadays.
You think
the old generation? They were like, we don't have anything to be mad at right now.
You think the drive feels bullied that we call them old?
I don't think it's their favorite thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's their favorite.
They're kind of the old guys, though, around here.
Yeah.
They kind of portray themselves that.
Pretty much.
I feel like it's fair. 865-546-8200.
Very fair.
That's the number if you want to get on with us on the Next Door Home Group Hotline. Jason, hold tight. You'll be first up when we return. You listen to The Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on the Next Door Home Group Hotline with us. We're going to go ahead and go take a call here in a second. Eli Corum of the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams. As always, people know gimmicks, just results is what they pride themselves in. Top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Always get the job done and leave a little money left in your pocket. If you want a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience, hit up Eli Corm and his top-notch team. You can call them up at 865-233-9461. That's 233-9461. Or visit nextdoorhomes.com. Negotiation customer service skills that are unmatched in this real estate market. Let's go ahead and go over to the Next Door Home Group Hotline and talk to Jason. Jason, you're on the Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Good morning.
That, by the way. y'all watched Narcos, right, on Netflix?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean,
you brought Stranger Things. I'm like, dude, no, it's Narcos, man. That's where it's at.
Well, Narcos, yeah, no, Ozarks. Ozarks is pretty good.
Look, Netflix does have a really good. I said Stranger Things alone, but that they really do have
a solid catalog. Have a good list. Solid catalog.
Yeah, Ozarks isn't bad either, but. No, I was going to call in. I got in my car. I listen to you guys all the time. I travel down southeast all the time. So I get in my car. I think I heard the tail end of you guys talking about the East Division.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, going into this season for me, it was, all right, every year I circle three games on my schedule, on our Tennessee schedule, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. Okay.
Yep.
The rest of them, I always expect to win. All right. That's just the expectation we should always have. And I thought, okay, in year two, we just need to win those games we should always win, you know, beat South Carolina finally, beat Vandy, beat Mizzou, beat Kentucky, you know, and maybe be competitive in those three games that we circle. We have an opportunity in these next 2 weeks to finish those games off that I expect to win every year.
Sure.
So I think going forward, as long as we keep recruiting, getting the guys that Pruitt wants to bring in, if we can start closing that gap, you know, start getting more competitive with Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, which we showed as the season has gone on, we all know we've gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think the way JG has been playing, I think that's what we were all hoping going into the season.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I in my opinion, I think Bailey's going to be a program changer. It would be maybe nice. Hopefully JG doesn't transfer now. It's crazy for me to even say that because I wrote him off earlier in the season. But now I'm starting to think, man, he can help JG or Bailey out a little bit, you know. But I don't know. I think going into next season, I think we can be competitive. I know we're going to be missing some leadership guys like Thule, Warrior, which he's come on. I kind of wrote him off too.
Yeah.
Darrell Taylor. You know, but we got some talent. But I don't know where you guys are with going into next season, but I kind of like where we're at. I feel pretty confident against OU. I mean, they're losing Jalen Hurts. I don't know what type of talent they're going to be depth-wise, but they'll be starting a new quarterback. I mean, I kind of like our chances going in there next year. What's your guys' thoughts on them?
Yeah, so Oklahoma's going to be the second game of the year. That's going to be September 12th. And it's going to be tough. I think that especially the fact that it's going to be a game on the road, not going to be easy. But, hey, it's really kind of – and we're going to have all offseason to talk about, but what is it going to look like between the mixture of such a – what we believe is going to be a powerful end to the season, how much momentum you're going to have moving into the offseason versus how much just gunshot – or how gunshy we're going to be about the beginning of the season again, or at least kind of well, – that's the way that I'm looking at it this early on.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, and I'll hang up and listen after I say this. We always traditionally seem to start off slow, and we always seem to kind of get it going at the end of the season or midway through. I don't know what it is, but we seem to always start off slow going into, you know, new seasons. But I've been the Norman. I was there in 14 for that Oklahoma when Worley was a quarterback.
Maybe we saw each
you
other.
Were?
I was.
Okay, well, I wasn't impressed with their stadium.
Oh,
okay.
There's the
nothing
worst.
Intimidating.
It's the worst.
The fans are great, though. The hospitality was great. I can't complain about Oklahoma fans. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's nothing intimidating about that stadium. But I just look at what we might have having coming back with Gooden. Stoleman comes back, and Darrell Middleton's back. You know, Elijah. I mean, our defense should be pretty darn stout next year. And, you know, our corners, our secondary. I mean, our defense will be able to hang with that Big 12 offense. If we can just get the offense going, our offense, we might have something. So I'm not writing that game off yet. In fact, I feel pretty good about it. But y'all have a good day.
Hey, thank you very much, Jason. Call back soon next time. That was a great call.
I do think, though, that the schedule is a little favorable next year.
Well, I remember specifically talking about this when the schedule came out, and it is so much more spread out.
Well,
there is no point where you have that five-game death march.
Right, because you get the schedule switches next year because who was it that – was it Georgia that had a problem? Georgia was mad about having to play Auburn every year, so that they ended up switching the schedule around, and now you don't play Georgia at the beginning of the year anymore. You play them toward the end of the year.
November 14th.
And then the Missouri game gets moved up. So I like that because you don't have to go to Missouri in the freezing cold anymore.
Yeah, think about this. Next year at this time, we will be two days away from the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Next year, 1 year from today, we'll be 2 days away from the Georgia game. That is wild to think about for me.
Yeah, it'll definitely be different. But, I mean, I don't know how I feel about Oklahoma. I mean, I still think they're going to be very good.
Yeah.
They're going to have talent.
Yeah, I don't feel very comfortable. I know he said he felt
either.
Pretty good like going. I don't.
I do like our team on paper.
Yeah, I don't feel good going in Norman
but that's
next year.
Be tough.
I think that's going to be a blowout. Maybe.
But I mean, you start the season with Charlotte, then to Oklahoma, Furman, and then you get Florida at home, Missouri at home. You go to South Carolina, Alabama at home. You go on the road to Arkansas. They're terrible. Kentucky at home. Then you go to Georgia, who could possibly be breaking in a new quarterback. I don't know. Does Jake Fromm go pro? It's a pretty deep quarterback class. I don't know. He could come back. I don't know.
Well, here's the biggest thing to me. When you
and
look
then
at
Troy and Vanderbilt.
Troy and Vanderbilt. When you look at this year's schedule, you had the stretch of Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina. Just a death march. When you look at next year's schedule, Brandon, you just listed it out. The Florida game is sandwiched in between Furman and Missouri. The Alabama game is sandwiched between a bye week and Arkansas. The Georgia game is sandwiched between Kentucky and Troy. And for Oklahoma, it's Charlotte and Furman. At no point really in this season do you have just like a miserable stretch of games. For each one of these big games that we're reading, Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, you have very, very, very winnable games both before and after each one. So to me, that gives me hope that there's never really going to be a point in the season where, you know, it's just a big old losing streak because you're playing a bunch of good teams in a row. You don't play Florida and Georgia back-to-back.
No, I like the way the schedule sets up.
I love it.
Like we were talking about earlier, if you can get the defense to carry over into next year, bring a lot of guys back, really ramp that defense up. If you can figure out the offense, I feel pretty good about next year. I'm not saying that they're going to win the East. I'm not saying that. But I feel like they could have a pretty good year.
I do, too. He said he's hoping that Garantano does not leave. I changed that to the question of who do you think is more likely to transfer out between Jarrett Garantano, JT Shrout, and I think that's it. I don't think Brian Maurer's going anywhere.
No.
I think one of them will go.
I would probably say Shrout.
I think I would as well. I think Shrout probably wants to get out more to have a new start to his career, right? Rather than Garantano.
I mean, he's just buried on the depth chart right now. I mean,
and he will get even more buried.
Right. I mean, he kind of had his chance. And he did. I thought he played well. I thought he did pretty good.
I think he played
good.
Himself into another school.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he did fine, but Garantano's played better.
He has. That's your backup quarterback right now. Catch a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Listen to Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Back here on the Blitz, 11:35 a.m. All right, we went over Tennessee football. We went over Tennessee basketball. Weston Brown, tell us, why don't you give us the information about the undefeated 3-0 big win setting,
huge win,
Goliath defeating Lady Volunteers.
Huge win. I don't think many people saw this coming, but it certainly is a good sign. You know, the game was on last night, the Monday Night Football game, but I actually had it on the Lady Vols game and was watching the NFL game on my phone.
Yeah, but before we go anywhere else, let you know, in case you missed it, the Lady Vols beat the 16th ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish by a score of 74-63. Kelly Jolly Harper gets her first signature win of her tenure in Knoxville. Back in Knoxville, I guess I should say.
And did Notre Dame win it last year or 2 years removed? They won a title recently too.
Oh,
I'm thinking it was.
Hold on, it was.
I don't think it was last year, but they have been, you know, probably the number two program over the past
2 years removed.
Yeah,
probably over the past 5 and 10 years. That was the Lady Vols' first road win against a ranked opponent since 2010.
2010? 10 years?
Yeah.
Basically.
It's been about a decade.
Holly Warlick never beat a ranked team on the road.
In her tenure?
No.
Never beat a ranked team on the road, huh?
And Jolly does it on her first try.
Jolly! We love it.
Renaya Davis, 34 points, 10 rebounds. She is an athlete.
What a baller.
This is the tallest Lady Vols team in history.
Love it. Height.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they had over 60 rebounds to Notre Dame's like 25.
Notre Dame played in the championship this past year, lost by 1 point to Baylor.
The names on the Lady Vols team are so far beyond my understanding.
Let's hear them. Come on.
There are just some tough ones.
Come on. Let's see.
Well, not all. There's one.
Come on.
The toughest one is Cassiana Kushkitwa. Cassiana Kushkitwa. That's it.
I don't know if that's it at all.
Do you know if that's it, Weston?
The first name I know is right. Cassiana.
Okay.
I'm that far. The last name is hard.
Try it one more time.
It is Kush, so Kush, Kit, K-I-T, Ua. Kushkitua.
It's probably pretty close.
Any other?
I don't know.
You have a Jasmine Massengill. That one's cool.
That's not really tough.
No. Well, there's just a lot of like different names. Like you have a Jaden McCoy, but Jaden is spelled J-A-I-D-E-N. I think I just said Jasmine Massengill, Renaya Davis, Tamara Key, Tamari Key. I think that's actually it. We got some great names on this team. I love it.
We got a 6'3", 6'4", 6'3", 6'5", 6'6", 6'5", on the team.
Okay. Okay.
They have a very difficult schedule.
They always do.
They played Notre Dame last night. They played number 20, the 22nd ranked Texas Longhorns. They play Stanford, who is number 3.
I feel like we always play Texas.
Kentucky
every year pretty much.
Is 13th. They play Connecticut, who is 4th. South Carolina, 6th. Mississippi State, 10th. Texas A&M, 5th.
Lady Vols have always played a pretty tough schedule, though.
Let me tell you
I agree,
Brandon,
with Weston.
I hear that schedule. Not worried at all. Not even sweating a little bit. Kelly Jolly Harper, she is the woman for this job. I believe it. I've always said it all along. I've always thought that she was the right one to bring this program back.
The savior.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing a great job so far. That's the type of wins that they need to, you know, kind of rally back their fan base. She's a former Lady Vol, so she had a lot of praise coming in. And, you know, she's going to try to do everything to be just like Pat Summitt.
Oh,
that's a good thing.
And, you know, going back to the conversation we were having last week about the Arizona State athletic director who had taken a shot at Fulmer when he was hired, and all the national guys that had taken a shot at Fulmer when he was hired. But if you take a look at, I won't say every program because I don't follow every program closely.
I saw this tweet last night.
But if you look at football, if you look at men's basketball, if you look at women's basketball, if you look at baseball, I mean, those are your biggest four sports. Every single one of them since the time that Fulmer has taken over has improved.
Yeah, but Barnes was already starting to prove that.
Right, but locked him down.
Yeah,
you locked him down with the extension.
The biggest coaching moments,
that
right?
That you needed to do. But I would still, I mean, like, it was good that, you know, Dave Hart, I guess, or was it Dave Hart? Yeah, mm-hmm. It was Dave Hart got us Barnes. Mm-hmm. That was a good hire. But everything's starting to come together, and it seems like, yeah, I could say it seems like there's more of a centralized focus on football and getting your major sports going with Fulmer because he's an athletics guy.
Yeah, I think you can tell how much he cares about these programs. I mean, I think we've already seen.
I don't want to give all the. We can't do this like we were. You especially too. You were done with Fulmer. Now you want to give Fulmer all the credit now,
I
Brandon?
Was done with
no,
Fulmer?
Brandon. You remember when people were calling in
and
they were like, Philip Fulmer. Why do we have him?
This
like
is
you
a
know,
great point.
Fulmer is the one that's ruining the program. And Brandon was really
point.
on Philip Fulmer. You were.
Huh?
His quote was, "I think I'm out on Fulmer."
Yes, thank you.
And you know what? You know what, Fish? You know what, Chance? You know what, Rick? I think I'm back in on Fulmer. How about that? You got a problem with that? I think
I respect it.
I'm back in on Fulmer.
I'm glad Fish remembered too. I remember that day when everybody was out on Fulmer, and Brandon was really like he was agreeing with what's the guy that always tweets us that hates Fulmer? I can't think of his name. I'm sorry, listen.
Troy.
Yeah. Troy staunch. He hates Fulmer, and Brandon was agreeing with Troy that day.
I think I'm back in.
There was some buzz last night around the Lady Vols. Like, I don't think I've ever seen as many tweets about the Lady Vols as there was last night.
Yes. See, people can say, and they can, like, it's, Weston, I'm glad you accept the Lady Vols. You like them a lot. There's a lot of these macho men that run around here. You know what I'm talking about, Weston? I don't watch Lady Vols sports. Damn well knowing that when they were hanging banners in the 90s and hanging banners in the early 2000s, they were the ones that were, you know, probably definitely praising the Lady Vols basketball program. But there's those macho guys that say they don't watch it, and they're like, "Who? What's that? Who cares?" You know what I'm talking about, Weston.
I hate the people who just
do that.
Who hate the, like, for me, I'm not the biggest Lady Vols fan.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you know what? They you bring want them championships to this
university. And you want them to do well.
And I love this university. Not the school part of things. Like the athletic side of things.
Like, I did not go out of my way to watch that game last night. I flipped over and checked the score. I was rooting for them. But I'm not going to go out of my way and watch the whole game. It's just.
But you're also not going to be one of these people who just completely dismisses
the
Lady Vols as anything.
That's enough. You're an ally.
It's just a bad brand of basketball. It's not good. Bad product.
It's not a bad product because there's not as athletic as the males. That doesn't mean it's a bad product. That just means it's not your cup of tea as far as like what you want to see. That doesn't mean it's a bad. It's fundamentals, and it's actually more polished than the men's game because it's.
Then why are the if it's a good product, then why do people not show up to the WNBA to watch?
Just because they want to watch guys dunking. They want to watch the men's game. It's a more fast-paced game. Women don't dunk. Women don't play as they do play as physical, but it's just traditional that people are going to watch men's sports. It's like when you were in high school. You didn't watch the girls' high school, but you stay and watch the men's high school game.
Here's what I think is that I think that there are a lot of different ways to play the sport of basketball, but we have been so conditioned to one way of basketball.
I just think it's like, tough when people say it's a bad product. Not a bad product for the people that watch.
It's a different product.
Yeah,
it's
different, and I think that if you are so conditioned to what men's basketball has turned into, just with
boring.
The speed and the physicality, I think that for some people, they do then look at other versions of basketball and say, it's not as good of a product, or it's a bad product, even though it's just not. Like, I think that we are just so conditioned to having a certain type of basketball being played that, you know, maybe for the women's game, if it's not as quick-paced or if it's maybe not as physical, I think that we get tuned out to those kind of things because, you know, we want to see 6'9" towering men, you know, throwing elbows at each other trying to get, you know, space along the three-point line. It's just a completely different game. And ultimately, Chance is right. It's whatever your cup of tea, but I also don't blame Brandon for saying that, you know, it's not.
I just think
it's
rough to say it's a bad product. And then you called Rick ageist? I'm going to call you sexist, Brandon.
Whoa, that's not true at all.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I've now flipped. I'm against
that. There's a lot of boring basketball that happens on the men's side.
Very true.
Yep. Can we have a Blitz Lady Vols attendance where we all go to the Lady Vols?
I'll go with you.
Will you do
the
that?
The only way I'm going is if it's a big game.
Right, yeah. I mean, we're not going to go watch them play Slippery Rock, but I mean.
Although Slippery Rock might be a good game. They'll beat the hell out of Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock?
North Carolina,
you couldn't
right?
thought of anyone else.
North Carolina, right? Is that
sounds
what Slippery
like,
Rock is?
Sounds like one of my Y Guy nicknames like they would give you. I don't know if anybody knows about that, but. Man,
like
Slippery
who's
Rock.
The big game? Who's the big game at home?
I'd say South Carolina,
South Carolina right?
Mississippi State.
You might be able to convince me to go if you buy my ticket with that big paycheck you got there.
Boom.
congratulations to Volunteer Vodka for bringing home the bronze medal at this year's Berlin International.
Final segment of the Blitz here today, as we are just a couple minutes away from Talk Sports taking over the airwaves. They'll be on from 12 to 3. Then, of course, the drive with Russell and Baron Trey from 3 to 6. And then overtime will close you home tonight from 6 to 8. Be sure to stay tuned to the Fan Run Network the whole day long as they get you ready for Murray State versus Tennessee tonight from Thompson Bowling Arena at 9 o'clock p.m. We got a late game. It doesn't matter. TBA should still be packed. It typically always is.
You think so?
I mean,
I think they'll have a decent crowd. I don't think it'll be packed.
I'm saying packed for a very minor game on a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Thought it was Wednesday.
I'm getting a day ahead.
I think it'll be. I think it'll be a good crowd for all things considered.
If they've got lower level baseline tickets for $6, eh.
$6 on the baseline?
Lower level. I mean, not like down on the floor, but like behind the basket.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're just going cheap tickets? Maybe not.
I don't know.
Either way, Tennessee trying to get their second regular season win tonight in as many games. I believe, in terms of an injury report.
Drew Pember will not play.
Yes, that is I believe that is the only notable name. Drew Pember will not play. Josiah Jordan James is cleared. He will be playing. And then so on and so forth from there. Let me pull up this game real quick. Okay, so it is kind of hard to look at the stats for these games, but if you want to look at a couple guys who you may need to know, Tevin Brown is I believe, their best guard. He had 17 points in their season opener. Shot 50% from the field, which is good. So be sure to kind of keep him in the back of your head this game. Man, here's the thing. We don't know a ton about this game so far because it is so early in the game. Murray State did have a bunch of turnover, as did Tennessee from last year. So this is going to be an interesting game. But at the end of the day, you got to believe that Tennessee is the better coached and and more talented team. I think that's what we will see happen tonight. Go out there, play a complete game from the opening jump to the closing whistle. Get ready for Washington coming up this Saturday. I think that everything should go well from TBA tonight.
Well, my biggest question is, what can Eve Pons back up his good scoring performance from last week?
That's a great point.
Can we see him continue to be a consistent scorer? What does Devontae Gaines do? Devontae Gaines, another guy that had a pretty good night week against.
He went 4-7.
UNC Asheville.
He went 4-7 from deep, if I believe.
Yeah, Kemwa is another one, another guy that – I mean, that's going to be the fun part to me, and Rick Barnes mentioned it in his media availability yesterday. It's going to be fun watching this team grow. Whenever we watched Grant and Admiral and Jordan Bone, whenever you saw those guys kind of grow and mature from year to year, it's going to be fun watching this team grow. With Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden and those guys kind of leading the way, it's going to be good to see guys like Josiah Jordan James, Devontae Gaines, Kamwa, Drew Pember, all these other guys, to watch them come along and mature throughout the season.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think guys should handle business pretty well. I just want to see how they play. Don't turn the ball over as much.
That was a big thing, yeah.
See how some of these younger guys continue to build off of, getting some actual play time in the rotation. Like you say, see what Pons does. I expect Lamonte and Jordan Bowden to have a good game. And I expect Josiah Jordan James to be leading scorer tonight.
That would be awesome if he was. really want to get that guy involved in the offense, get into his game, getting his shots as soon as possible. But that's coming up tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. on the SEC Network. We'll be breaking that game down tomorrow.
Verizon customers, you get Disney Plus free for a year.
No way.
I think that's only if you have
new sign
unlimited.
Bought an iPhone,
you should get unlimited data then.
If you bought any kind of Apple product after September 10th, you get a free year of Apple TV Plus.
That's right.
The more you know.
TMYK.
The more you know. Hey, that does it for us. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow. For Chance Collins, for Weston Brown, for Brandon Ork, I'm Rick Butler. Let's boat race the racers tonight. Talk Sports coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's the best time of year in the sports calendar, and if you've been thinking about betting